This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Australia on the Community Radio Network to over 70 community stations around the nation, this is Word for Word. Coming to you from Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy.
Welcome, family and friends, fans and fiends, to today's edition of Word for Word. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. I am Benjamin Norris, and it is simply a delight to continue to work on this show for the Joy Network, which has already featured some of the community's strongest voices. In the tradition of this ongoing program, I continue to look at powerful stories and insights into the life and lifestyle of some incredible people. Each week we will chat with those in and around our community who have inspired us, entertained us, but mostly they've made an impact on the queer community of Australia. Today's guest is one of them. This man was born in the west of Sydney and moved to Queensland at the age of 14. His childhood might not have always been easy, but it was his individual flair that set him apart from the other kids at school. You may know him as the third runner-up on this year's season of The Voice, but you will remember him for his styling and ability to sing in a fashion well beyond his years. Currently touring the country with more ambition than Madonna, there is no doubt in my mind that this young Australian will be a recognisable household name for years to come. So today, while we hear his story and hear his music, I'd like to welcome you, and I'd like to welcome Sheldon Riley to Word for Word.
I've decided this year I don't want to be the person that stands up and says a sob story over time, but let's be real, it wasn't easy. I definitely hated the fact that I was gay as well. I didn't like it.
He's 19 years old, this young man, the young Queenslander, but he's proven to be a strong competition this season.
When I stepped on the stage at The Voice, and I didn't realise anyone would turn, to be honest with you.
Sheldon, what kind of advice is boy George giving you?
He just always says to love and listen and appreciate everything that comes your way.
You have a good voice.
We really like you. Do you have a second song that you could possibly sing? Anything?
Do you want to sing an a cappella song?
Have you noticed singers today, whether they can sing or not, if you can feel it, it's just great. What I am as myself isn't what everyone else is, but if you can get up there and be the truest version of you, people just seem to love it. Hello.
Are you excited to be on Joy? This is the second time already for you.
Yeah, right. Excited to finally be in the studio.
Is it nerve-wracking that you were on a show that's called The Voice and it's all about you having this amazing voice? Do you feel like there's a lot of pressure to live up to having this amazing voice?
Oh, definitely. I think after I went through the show, I didn't realise how many good singers there are in Australia. A lot of people say you'll never make it in Australia and whatever. I went far out. The talent here is insane. It's not that you're not going to make it because there's no talent here. It's because there's just too much in here, and I think Australia is just waiting for somebody to stand out a little bit.
Could be you.
Hopefully. Who knows?
Well, it's one of those things. I think it's like popcorn in a pan. Some will pop and some won't.
Yes.
But it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they might not be talented.
Correct.
You know? So it's interesting. You still flying around the country?
Oh, everywhere. Every day I've got something new on, and I think it's crazy. I went into The Voice thinking that it would just be me and boy George. Hopefully that was the dream. I'm like, he's going to turn. It's just going to be us against the world. But I realized everyone loves what I'm doing, and everyone loves, you know, someone that stands out just a little bit and does something a little bit different.
Well, we're going to get into all of that as we go through the show, but we're going to start off with talking about where you grew up. So you grew up in Sydney's west.
I did.
But you kind of lived everywhere.
From mountains all the way up past Parramatta, so everywhere.
What was your childhood like?
I was definitely not the atypical Sydney west kid, I guess you could say. It was I've decided this year I don't want to be the person that stands up and says a sob story over time, but let's be real, it wasn't easy, especially for anyone that's just the tiniest bit different. And, you know, it just wasn't the greatest, I guess, living out there, but it, you know, it's made me who I am, and it's made me feel like the, you know, the biggest fish in the little pond, and it's set me up for quite an amazing, colourful journey now.
What would you say your relationship was like then with your parents?
Mum and dad and my sister and my brother are like my best friends in the world. I just didn't, just like a lot of, I guess, a lot of the people that probably listen to this radio station as well, I didn't have as many friends as what I would have liked to have had when I was younger. I was just a little bit, I don't even know. I was just so different from everybody. I didn't have many people in life, so my family were my best. And I can't sit here and say they haven't accepted me. They've been great, and they've always accepted me for me, which was awesome, and just let me be myself, I guess. I couldn't love them more.
What about your mum in particular?
Oh, mummy. No, mummy's great. She's like, she's the mummager. She thinks she's a dance mum sometimes. She gets all up in it. And it's funny because now that I'm out there strutting in glittery high heels and wearing big fur and everything and living my best life, she's like, yep, let's do it. And she'll sit there with me and make all this stuff. And she's just so excited I'm finally, you know, being able to do what I've wanted to do for so long.
What's she like as a Kris Jenner type character?
Oh, far out. She's loud, and she's the kind of mum that looks at other people, because I don't know, I've kind of gotten used to it when I walk down the street in, you know, massive big red jumpers and stripy pants. I don't know. I don't think anyone really has a problem with it. They just, you know, you can't help but give a look to someone wearing that. So mum's like, why are you looking at my son like that? I'm like, oh gosh, mum, sit down.
What's it like being stopped like that?
It's exciting. I thought it would be scary, but like this, every type of person you can possibly imagine has stopped me and gone, I'm so happy that you're doing what you're loving, and I'm so happy that you're, you know, you're living and you're doing it, and you're inspiring, and you're telling people just be yourself, because ultimately what I am as myself isn't what everyone else is. But if you can get up there and be the truest version of you, I know people just seem to love it. Yeah.
And you've got two siblings?
Yes, brother and sister.
What were you like in those family dynamics?
I was, at home, I was the louder one. I was the one that would steal people's pillowcases and make dresses for their Barbie dolls and for their, you know, their figurines and everything. I don't know. I was a troublemaker, I guess, but not really a troublemaker. I was just creative, and I was the one that would put glitter everywhere and, you know, would break the vacuum because I decided to put, you know, paint all through it. And yeah, I was that kid. I was just always experimenting, being different, being, you know, creative in any way I possibly could. I was always fun, I guess you could say. I was a fun person to be around.
What does your brother and sister think of all of this hype, I guess, coming off The Voice?
I don't know. They're loving it, and they're just so happy for me that I'm being able to, you know, be so comfortable. I don't know how many people my age could walk through the lounge room and go, Mom, you need to help me get ready, or, you know, grab your sister, help me get ready and strap these heels onto my leg, or, you know, wrap this fur around my neck. It just doesn't really happen, I guess. And I think the big thing I'm getting from everyone online and in person is I just wish I had someone like you in my family just to bring a bit of joy and a bit of love and light. So, you know, it's great to have them around. It's great to see that they're having a great time with it all as well.
Well, we're going to continue talking about your upbringing, but right now we're going to play one of your songs that you performed on The Voice. This is Creep, probably one of your biggest songs.
Yes.
What do you have to say about this one?
Creep was massive. Everyone was like, what are you going to wear? What are you going to wear? I walked into The Voice wearing big purple fur, and then I painted overalls, and then I wore glitter for one, like crazy, and everyone forgot that I was the only guy getting up there that week singing Creep. So, yeah, this one's my big one.
Well, this is Sheldon Riley with Creep.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eyes. You looked like an angel. Your skin made me cry. You flowed like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, I don't belong here. don't belong here.
Wow. It's a big song.
It is.
Is it a song that you prepared and thought you were going to be singing on The Voice?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know. I think it's the artist dream, that song. It's the kind of one, because every singer has felt the feeling of being a weirdo and felt the feeling of being just, you know, a bit creepy and a bit different from other people. I guess that's what makes us creative. So it's definitely the singer's dream song. It's just whether or not singers can get up there and do it is what makes the difference. So I'm just, you know, it was so exciting to get up there and to get, have George give me a Radiohead song was crazy as well.
Which school did you go to growing up?
I went to 14 different schools.
You went to how many schools?
14 different schools.
Go name them all.
No chance in the world. I don't even remember one school I was at. I was there for 2 days. I was like, Mum, you have to get me out of here. It's just not right for me. She's like, alrighty. Spent a lot of time at PBC in the Gold Coast, which is a sports-based school, which I seem to love the most, to be honest with you, which is pretty crazy. I didn't ever do sport at all, but it was a good school. It was on the beach. It was on, like, literally on the water, and I know it was good.
What were you like getting along with the other kids at school?
Like, from start of school to about year seven, there was no getting on with other kids. Not that I would be nasty to anyone. I'd just be quiet, sit in the corner, don't really say anything.
Do you still have a relationship with any of the other kids from school?
Yeah, like year 10, 11, 12, kind of, but pre that, not really. I don't know. I've had lots of messages from a lot of people saying a whole heap of different stuff and, like, good stuff, like, so proud of you, and we always knew you would make it, and I'm sitting here going, oh, did you always think I was going to make it? I don't know, but it's good to see, you know, grudges don't get held, and you just thank you and, you know, just move on with it.
How did you come across singing?
I don't know. I sang all the time as a kid. My grandparents used to play Elvis for me, and Mum used to play everything, like every type of music, which was really cool. And I would listen to Cyndi Lauper and Amy Winehouse and you know, like, just, I don't know. I just always found it so therapeutic to listen to music. So when you're, I guess, singing in the shower, that's always the first moment. And the first question singers always ask is, why does it sound better when you sing in the shower than when you sing out in the open? And then when you start practice, I don't know, I just started, I loved it, and I loved the way it made me feel, and I loved the way I was able to express myself. I guess I didn't really express myself all that much back then. So when I'm singing Back to Black as a 10-year-old kid, and I'm, well, everyone knows the lyrics to those songs, and I have absolutely no idea what it means when I'm relating it to myself, I think, you know, I couldn't stop that. It was like a fire that just kept burning. I was like, yeah, we need to keep doing this. This is what's making me happy.
Do you have a moment where a friend or a family member said to you, actually, you're talented?
I don't know. It wasn't the people telling me that it sounded good. It just felt so good. And I think that's what, have you noticed singers today, whether they can sing or not, if you can feel it, it's just great. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not the greatest singer of all time, but when you watch them and they can feel every single word and their songwriting's, like Adele, for example, who's got a powerhouse voice, but when she sings live, you know, she has a bit of a struggle time, but she feels it and she knows it. For that, and for me, I've just always pushed through because it felt right and it felt good, and I guess that resonated with people.
Growing up in the noughties was obviously difficult for everybody around that time frame, but I think things were definitely changing for young gay people. How was that growing up during that time?
Yeah, not the greatest. Let's be real. It's never the greatest when, like, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was telling me that they don't even have to do PE in school anymore. And what? I just think, what the hell? I remember running to the change room for, like, my life. I mean, I would sprint, like, 100 meters from one building to another just so I didn't have to get changed in front of other people, because I just felt so uncomfortable with just being a bit different in front of other people. With, like, just, I can't imagine how great it must be for, you know, anyone in the LGBT community now in schools and stuff now, like, there's so many programs out there for them and everything. I just didn't have that. And I didn't have, you know, gay role models by any means, or any teachers or mentors or anyone for me back then. And I guess that's another reason why music's so big for me, because they were my only mentors. And I don't know, when you're a little kid dancing around school singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper, people just don't like it. And I didn't know why. So I don't know. It wasn't the greatest thing ever, but, you know, I always say that I always feel great, you know, now, and I'm always feeling happy and everything, because I just kept being true to me, and that's one thing I've always got on me.
Did anyone remind you to stay true to yourself and say that's okay to be singing Cyndi Lauper songs?
No, completely. My family were amazing for me. They were just saying, just keep being you, because we know there's something special about you, and in the future, I promise you, there's going to be a world of people that will love and accept everything that you're doing. Let's keep in mind, mum and dad had probably never even met a drag queen in their life, but they just knew when I grew up there'd be a community there for me. But yeah, I get excited now that I'm only 19 sitting here at, you know, Joy, and it's crazy to think how much the world's changed since I was even in high school, so which was like 2 years ago, which is crazy.
Whilst you're on The Voice, you were very lucky and you got to work alongside Boy George, so yes. Team George. What was the best song that he picked for you that you got to sing on The Voice?
Probably when he gave me a Katy Perry song. That was awesome. I was supposed to sing Cyndi Lauper, and we had this little kind of a little argument, first ever argument with Boy George, which was crazy. And he's like, no, this is the song you have to sing. And he gave me Rise by Katy Perry. And that was the moment. That's what got me to the top four.
Well, for those who missed The Voice, this is Sheldon Riley with Rise, which was written by Katy Perry.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. On the archetype, I won't just conform. No matter how you shake my core, 'cause my roots they run deep. Oh, oh, you have so little faith.
Don't doubt it, don't doubt it.
Oh, victory's in my veins.
What age, we're going to go a little bit deep here. So what sure. age did you start to work out your sexuality?
I think I've always known. I don't know. I feel like for someone that stood up on TV and celebrated the rainbow name, I haven't really asked many people what it must have been like for them when they came out. And I don't know I don't even know how to relate that to anything. I think you just, I don't know. How did you feel? Like, did you just know? You just know.
I don't necessarily feel like it's one of those moments where you get a letter in the mail and you go, oh, well, No. You know, I'm gay.
Nope.
I think it's a gradual experience. I grew up in a very different time to you. I was going through high school in the early 90s. Mm. And in that stage, you know, certainly never talked about your sexuality.
No.
And I didn't come out till I was 21. So I didn't feel comfortable to talk about it at all.
Mm.
So talking to you, and you're 19.
Yeah, I came out at 14 on The X Factor. So I came out on TV. I was sitting in an interview and I was sitting with mum, and they were like, so tell us something about yourself that no one knows. I'm just like, this is it. And I'd already told mum actually. So I came out at 13, but I think just past 13. And I was sitting there and I decided, mum, let's spread it to the world. And I did, and I came out on TV, and I just thought it was right. And I don't know. I remember there were other gay kids in school that would talk to me and go, hey, so you're gay? I'm like, yeah. Like, what about you? Like, no one knows. And I would think, you know, I can't live in fear. This whole street rat whispering thing, that's not me. I refuse to do that. I've never done that, and I'm not going to start doing that now. So I think when I was about 14, and I just knew, like, there was no chance in the world I was getting, you know, girl cooties. This was it. Like, boys for life. This is going to be it. I don't know. It was just the moment I said this, let's do it. So came out on TV and I told everyone, you can love, like, I was a little kid. I was like, you can love whoever you want to love. You can do whatever you want to do. You just be you. And that went on TV. They happened. And I was like, that is incredible.
Most people are terrified when they come out. They're going to tell their mum or their best friend. You told all of Australia in one go.
Yep.
Was that terrifying?
It was definitely scary. Like, it's funny because these reality TV shows are pre-recorded just a fair bit into the future, a few months or so. So I remember sitting at home and I was just crossing my legs and I was just like, I can't even see what this is going to look like. And then I walked out there and I was my little 15-year-old self walking out onto stage and I was saying, "Hi, I'm Sheldon Hernandez. I just want everyone to love whatever they want to love." And that happened. I was like, do you know what? There was nothing to be scared of, because that ultimately is still what I'm promoting to this day and still finding myself, still teaching myself as well to love whatever and whoever I want to love, which is great. But yeah, definitely scary. But once it happened, I just said, this is me and this is going to be my forever self. So you might as well roll with it.
What was your first experience of knowing that there was gay people? Not, you know, your first sexual experience or anything like that, but when were you aware that there were same-sex attracted couples, or you could be that?
That it was crazy for me. I remember watching a show, Will and Grace, which I probably was definitely not supposed to be allowed to be watching. I was probably like 12 years old and I was in the lounge room and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, let's just put it on the TV and see what's on. And that's kind of like back then the naughty hour where kids aren't supposed to be watching TV, and Will and Grace was on and I was like, I couldn't quite get... Obviously, you've seen Will and Grace before, yeah, right? Yeah. I just couldn't understand. I'm like, so wait, is Grace and Will together? Like, my brain wasn't functioning with that. And I went, no. And they started talking all these topics. And then from then, every Friday night at 2 p.m., I would go into the lounge room and watch Will and Grace, which was crazy. And then after that would be Sex and the City. And I'm like, oh, you know, the word sex was scary. I was 12 years old, but I was like, nope. And I watched, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's more gay people. It must just be gay time at night. So I guess that was my first experience, really. I didn't quite get it. And then I went to school, I think, another time, because I'd kind of just dropped it and it wasn't a thing for me anymore. And someone was talking about How I Met Your Mother and they were saying Neil Patrick Harris is gay, and they were laughing about it and all this little stuff. And I was like, no, he's not. And then I went home and I Googled it and I was like, oh my gosh, there's gay people everywhere. That could be me. So
is that a relief?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I think for me, watching Jack on Will and Grace being this, you know, flamboyant character that he is on the show, I got a bit scared and I said, well, if I'm going to be gay, do I have to be, you know, this prancing ballerina on all these colors? Does that have to be me as a gay guy? So I think another reason why I came out is I realized your sexuality is just, you know what I mean? Just your sexuality. And I think it's crazy. I'm only 19 and I've realized that when I was like 13, 14, which was crazy. So
I guess, you know, you don't want people out there to feel like they're defined by any culture of sexuality, where you're thinking just because someone's wearing dresses, that means one thing. I think for you in particular, especially when you're looking at your style, you can see that you're making it up for yourself.
Yep.
You know, it's a different world right now.
Yes.
We're not being defined by...
No, not at all.
...any labels.
No.
What did your parents think when you first told them? So obviously you told your mum before you came out on the telly. Did you tell your dad at the same time?
Yeah, I told them both. I was in my room. I'm like, hey, I need to speak to you guys about something. Like, oh, God, here we go. So, I mean, I think they definitely knew exactly what was going on. I'd sat down, like, just wanted to let you know. I know I'm young and you're probably going to think, because I was up all night researching all about it. Like, what? How do you come out to people? And, like, even back then, there weren't many Google answers for that. Do you know what I mean? And I'm this little 13, 14-year-old kid sitting on the bench just saying, Mum, Dad, this is it. And, like, you know, remembering they were a full-blown Christian family once upon a time, and I went to church not just on Sundays but on Fridays and Saturdays as well. Like, it was a full thing. Like, all their friends, all their family, like everyone that I've known for so long, we're all full-blown Christians. Like, that's just what we were. And the only thing I knew that resembled between Christianity and sexuality is that I was just told it wasn't okay to be gay. That's all I knew. But I just said, do you know what, this is me and I'm just going to tell them. And they said, okay, great, let's call everyone. And they just called all my family.
Did you have a coming out party?
No, not a coming out party. Just say, Sheldon's out. Let's not make a big deal about it. This is him. And, you know, there were some lovely responses. There was some very not so lovely responses. But, you know, I didn't care. I just said, you know, if my family's got my back, then I'll extend my family from that.
Is there a place in the world for you and your sexuality plus your religious beliefs?
I still have a beautiful place in my heart for religion. I think there's some, there's just so much beauty in religion as well. And, you know, just such strong belief. But what I really wished I could, like, I'm learning, that's, you know, I'm only 19, I'm still learning this, but if I can have such belief and such joy for both of me, I guess, if that makes any sense. Well, all of me, and do it like that would be great. But I guess for now it's a bit more, I don't know, I'm still finding myself, I guess, in that term. But yeah, definitely, I'm sure there's definitely a spot out there for anyone that wants to believe anything you want to believe.
Do you still go to church?
No, I don't go to church anymore, no.
But do you think you will go back?
Possibly. I don't know. I've had some experiences in the past, and I don't, you know, dress up in fur and tinsel every day, so it's not the way I'm looking or anything. I know where I feel comfortable now for myself at my age. I know where it's at, and I'm pushing myself day by day to, you know, break barriers down. But at the same time, I really want to make sure that I know who I am first before I start going in as a warrior, I guess. And I really want to make sure I'm completely confident in who I am, loving everything that I'm doing, and then go into that world again.
What age were you when you worked out that you could make a living out of being a performer?
Yeah, definitely. I watched the Katy Perry Part of Me movie, and I watched her break down before she went out, and she put a big smile on her face, and she had thousands upon thousands of people watching what she was doing. And I remember talking to Dad, and he's like, if you ever become a performer and you do this, and you know, you're singing, you're dancing, you're acting, all this stuff, can you imagine how much money you could be making? You could be building a house before you're even 20. Like, can you imagine that? And I was like, wow, okay, so it's possible. So how do I make it happen? And he goes, oh, it's a bit of a stretch. You know what I mean? Like, and this is like 10-year-old me by the, like, no, yeah, not even, like, I don't even know when, whatever it was. But it was, I don't know. It's just the moment hit me, and I was like, yeah, this could work, and I could do that. I'm, you know, Katy Perry celebrated for how different she was and how she brought something different in. And I don't know, I just said, I'm different. I'm kind of quirky and cool, and I've got some talent behind me. Let's see what happens. And, you know, now I'm traveling almost every day now. And yeah. And
you have to pinch yourself.
Oh, that's it. It's cool.
What makes a good performer in your mind?
Being real, just complete honesty. And can, if you're not being honest, people can see straight through it. I've had my moments where I wasn't being the most genuine person I could possibly be, and that's when my performances failed ultimately and they didn't work out. But when I stepped on the stage at The Voice, and I didn't realize anyone would turn, to be honest with you. I was, side story, I was in the audition room for The Voice, and I was there in my big, I mean, like, big fat purple fur, like, it was massive, and there was fur going everywhere because I was brushing it with a dog comb. Like, I mean, like, people pulling fur out of their mouths, like, that's how much fur was in this room. And everyone was looking at me like this massive weirdo, like, oh, poor guy, he's just here for a laugh. Like, this isn't going to work. Do you know what I mean? That guy that auditions for shows, like, he doesn't even know what they're doing to him right now, that kind of vibe. And I went up on stage, and I was so adamant that I wasn't going to get a chair turned, that I just said, I'm just going to be real. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to sing Boy George's song. And regardless if they turn or not, I'm going to know that I was completely honest to myself. And I sung, and all four chairs turned, and I just broke down, and I was just like, wow.
For those people out there who missed that very first performance where all the judges turned around, yes, we're going to play this now.
Amazing.
Is this a nice moment to go and revisit?
Yes. This is Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by The Culture Club.
Give me time to realize my crime. Let me love and steal. I have done,
yes,
inside your eyes. How can I be real? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? Precious kisses, words that burn me. Love has never asked you why. If it's love that you want from me, then take it away. Do you really want to hurt me? Want to make me?
Sorry.
Absolutely amazing. Do you ever get sick of hearing that?
No.
Do you have parties where you bring all your mates around and are like, come on, guys, let's just watch that one
Everyone
performance.
Everyone just come and sit and watch me again.
Far out. It's one of those things, though, where you can't help but be, I guess, immensely proud of what it is that you have achieved so far.
Yeah, definitely.
So before The Voice, you had auditioned for a few different shows. You'd auditioned for the reboot of
Young Talent Time. Yes.
With Rob Mills.
Yes. I remember hearing producers talking, saying, this kid can sing, like, he just can't dance. And they're like, Mills, go in there and help him out. And I was like, okay, great. And I'm just like, why am I in a room with this man for? This is not right. And Rob Mills gave me my first ever dance lesson, which was crazy. And then I didn't make it onto the show and that final cast there. But, you know, flash forward all these years later and I was singing with Rob Mills at the Opera House just the other day, and he was like, hey, how are you going? It's crazy, you know, my world's just flashed so quickly and I've met so many amazing people so fast.
So you also auditioned for The Voice Kids. What was that experience like?
So when I auditioned for Young Talent Time, I was this fun, bubbly kid and I was just like, yep, let's just do it. And then when The Voice Kids came around, this was back when I was in school and I was starting to realize, wait, no one else is getting picked on as much as I am. This isn't right. And I went into this little, like, sad kind of moment for a kid, which you don't really want to see when you're being so open all the time, and then you become, you know, this dark, sad spot in the corner that doesn't want to socialize. So I was like, I'm just going to go in, and I didn't get through. So it just, yeah, I guess that kind of showed in my audition that I wasn't quite there yet.
How did you pull yourself out of a funk like that at that age?
Again, just like the moment of coming out, if I'm not going to be me, who is? So it was just a moment, I guess, and I just said, I've had enough of being quiet. I've had enough of people telling me what to do, what to wear, and telling me, if you're not like, you know, this singer or that singer, you're never going to make it. And having kids, you know, torment me the way that they did at that age, I just said, I'm not feeling happy. And what makes my life so great is that I love being happy, and I love the feeling of seeing joy in people and watching them be so happy when I'm around. And I wasn't giving that impression off on people. So for me, I said, if that's not me, I'm not living. So we need to make some changes here and start doing something about it.
To become a true professional, I guess you're going to have to learn, you know, that there's some hard knocks in life.
Oh, definitely.
And you're going to get told no. So maybe it was a part of a process,
yeah,
to help you prepare.
Yep. Everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah. Did you have a good feeling, though, when it came to auditioning for the next show, which was X Factor?
The X Factor. Yes, it was. I heard Adam Lambert was on there, and this is the time where I'm starting to learn a little bit more about, you know, the culture that I live in every day. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mum, Adam Lambert's going to be X Factor judge, far out. She's like, all right, another show, let's do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, but we did it anyway. And that's when I came out on TV, I guess, and it was a moment, and I knew X Factor wasn't it, and I've said that from the very start. And it's funny, even after my audition aired, where I was this little 15-year-old kid saying, love whoever you want to love, in front of Adam Lambert, Iggy Azalea, and, you know, Guy Sebastian, and everyone sitting up in front of me, I knew for a fact that once that moment had ended, it was almost like, all right, you've had your moment, now stop, and let's start thinking about who you are now. Because even still then, I didn't really truly accept myself. I really, by any means, and I definitely didn't love who I was, and I definitely hated the fact that I was gay as well. I didn't like it. I was like, it makes me stand out, and it makes me, you know, be different, and it makes me be all these different things that, you know, lonely Sheldon who hid in the corner didn't want. Do you know what I mean? Any light, I just didn't want it near me. So I just said, no, that's it. So once I had my moment, that was the click in my head that went, wait, do I actually believe that? Do I actually believe, you know, love whoever you want to love and accept who you are?
Mm.
And I didn't. So coming, you know, off, I made it to the top 12 on X Factor as well, which is crazy. And I was in this dodgy boy group, which was a complete mess.
But what was the dodgy boy group's name?
I don't remember. Sorry, I don't know her. But
I blanked it from my mind.
It never even entered. But coming off it, though, I learned a lot. And I learned lots about the industry. And I met lots of amazing people. And I said, do you know what? This hasn't burnt any bridges for me in my mind about, you know, being a performer or having a career in this industry. It's made me want to work harder, and it's made me want to find myself a whole lot more. So I took 2.5-ish years off everything, and I just went to school like an everyday kid and worked super hard at finding myself. I went to school doing my hair a certain way, or going with a fake tan, or painting my nails, or doing something just a little bit different, and testing myself every day, almost like preparing myself for something I didn't even realize was coming. And then one day I was sitting at home and someone messaged me, hey, Sheldon, do you mind if you make me this outfit? And this is like I'm like, oh, okay, so sure, why not? And then I thought, wow, okay, I could probably do this for lots of people. And I've always loved fashion. I've always loved, you know, standing out just a little bit more than everyone else back when I was a little kid. And I thought, if I could sing and I could do that, and then like this light bulb hit up in my head, and I went, let's go to The Voice and let's show them every creative side of me, because I was always a painting kid and a drawing kid and fashioning something out of, you know, a pair of underwear, like anything to make something. And I just thought The Voice is accepting. I'd just seen, you know, plus size people win the show, drag queens on The Voice, like all these different, and I was like, far out, I could be the next person on there that makes a change and makes a difference about something. So I don't know, all these TV shows that I've done, every performance up until The Voice was, I realized as much as you get knocked down at auditions or you get told no, they're preparing you for something and they're getting you somewhere. And at 19, I stood on a stage wearing purple fur and sung a Boy George song in front of Boy George and turned all four chairs, and it happened. And that was the moment. And at that point, I just knew that something good was going to happen that I'd never had from any other, you know, any other TV show I was on.
You talk about going and exploring yourself and trying to work out who you were and who you are.
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest thing that you discovered about yourself? Like, what's the difference between Sheldon not knowing who you are and then having an understanding of who you are?
Just being, pretty much just bringing it outside my bedroom. That's the biggest thing that I learned. If I can wear glitter head to toe on my body, I am out in the middle of Western Sydney and I'm loving it and I'm doing it, then there is nothing in the world that can stop me from doing that out in public. You know, it's not illegal to walk down the street wearing glitter. So if I can do it in my room, why can't I do it outside? And there was this barrier in my head, and I'd walk down the street wearing all black clothing and I'd think, what stopped me from going outside today wearing a pink shirt or, you know, a red shirt or something a bit different? So I don't know. For me right now at this age, the biggest thing I've learned so far is just to have confidence in myself. And the biggest difference between young Sheldon and, you know, me now is because, you know, I'm still relatively young, I guess. The only difference is that...
You're 19.
Right? The difference is I can pull it out and I can do it. I can just be me now.
So I was lucky enough to go up to Sydney and watch an episode of The Voice that you were in.
Ooh.
Because I was interviewing Boy George. The song that I was there was for Alessia Cara's Scars to Your Beautiful.
Yes.
And it was just amazing. Should we let the people from Joy hear the song?
Yes, let's do it.
She just wants to be beautiful, she goes unnoticed, she knows no limit, she craves attention, she praises an image, she prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we have made a blind, so she tries to cover up the pain and cut her woes away. Cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world can change its heart. No scars to your beautiful. The stars are more beautiful.
With the process of being on The Voice, you get to perform, all the judges turn around. Do you get to have a moment with all of the judges, or was it specifically with George?
I was surprised. Like, the whole coaching thing, they were really involved. Like, more, like, to the point where, like, all right, like, we're done, I'm tired, I want to go to bed now. Like, we don't want to do this anymore. So I got to hang out with Joe Jonas a few times, and Kelly Rowland was always in wardrobe trying on something different, and her fashion's just out of the world. But yeah, which was crazy. And Delta and, you know, her tribe of contestants were always out and about somewhere. So I don't know, you really got to meet them and spend time with them and get to know them. And it was good to chat with Joe just to hear what his take was on the industry and just get advice from people who've really, you know, truly made it and are doing, you know, above and beyond things out in the world.
What is it that you walked away that Boy George taught you?
Just to listen, I think. I think I spent such a long time not talking to people that as soon as I did really come out of myself, I just became this really loud, 100 words a minute social butterfly. And he just said to listen to everything that's being said to you. And that's, you know, he said, you learn more when you're listening. And he could see I was already very confident, because normally people go on these singing shows and the thing that people need to work on is confidence and stage presence and feeling a song or, you know, getting the song right. But all ego aside, I was already doing a lot of those things. So he said, for you, the next step for you is just to listen and take everything as much as you possibly can in, and you'll be so surprised with the outcome that comes out from that.
It's interesting, when I saw you perform on The Voice and came along and saw you at the Midwinter Gala Ball, which was in Melbourne, I can hear elements of Boy George's voice.
Is that
in
right?
You. And it's a strange thing because, I mean, Boy George is obviously a different musician, I guess, in lots of ways. But the one thing that I think has resonated with you is that your voice is the star of your music.
Oh.
Where I think a lot of the time with musicians, there can be some tricks to it. There can be some excellent background music or beats, where I feel as though what George taught you is to put your voice out there first.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And it's such a good thing, like, for anyone that's going to get a chance over the years to go and see you live. I think it's a very different experience, again, from what you've probably seen on telly.
Yeah, completely.
Or been able to hear on the radio. At this particular stage of the game, who would you say are music idols, and where do you see yourself going with your music?
I want to take it everywhere. I've always said, there's been people that have said, we'll offer you this amount of money, sign this contract, and you can do this here, and would love to do your fashion here. And I've learned from myself that I haven't achieved what I've achieved at such a young age by, you know, aiming at a certain height, like, you know what I mean, like just somewhere small. Do you know what I mean? I've just told everyone, no, I don't want a house. I want to be a mansion. Like, I don't want a mansion. I mean, like, I want to be the mansion on top of the hill. And that's been my goal since forever. So I've just said, if I'm not loving what I'm doing and I'm not, you know, enjoying what I'm doing, then I haven't made it. So I don't know. I guess I want to be someone that enough people know me that I'm putting my message out there and I am making a change for people that are in school who still don't quite fit in, because as much as there's such an amazing rainbow culture in kids that are like 10, 11, 12, I know for a fact there's so many rural schools out there that just don't get that, and they don't
exactly
understand they're still me 10 years ago. Like, they still don't understand, and I wish they would be able to, you know, experience so many different parts of what Australia has to offer, but they haven't, because there's no one really in Australia that's doing that, I guess, my age for my before, you know what I mean by that. There's lots of people out there doing it, but I guess as in terms of a celebrity that's come from Western Sydney and has come from the middle of the bush, like, and to come out and parade in the stuff that I'm in, yeah, I would love to be a star and to show everyone, you know, you really can be yourself, and it works out, and people love it when you be the truest version, you know, version of yourself.
Are you looking to play your music through mainstream radio, or is there any ambition for you to even look at doing musical theatre? How are you looking at where your career is going?
I really want my fashion label and my music label to be together, to, you know, mash that way, I guess. Definitely looking into I'm writing at the moment, and it's some of my favorite stuff. I've found an old book actually from when I was younger, when I used to write when I didn't quite understand myself, and I've normally, that's pretty cringing for some people, but I've looked at it and gone, damn, Sheldon, you've written some really great stuff here. So I don't know, I definitely want people to hear my music at a global scale, I guess. Like, I don't know, I guess there's got to be other kids out there that need to hear what I have to say and need to hear what I'm singing about. So yeah, definitely looking at putting a lot more music out there and to letting, you know, my voice be heard even more.
So as The Voice was coming to an end, you end up coming third, which is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Do you feel any regrets or anything coming off that show? Like, were you disappointed that you didn't win?
No, not a single regret at all. I became really close with everyone that was on the show. And I don't know, I think sometimes, you know, you sit there and you almost have to look for something that you weren't so happy about. I've enjoyed every moment being on that TV show, and I've loved every moment coming off the show as well. And it's just really opened my eyes. I think, like I said at the start, I went in thinking it was just going to be, hoping it was just going to be me and George, and we're going to take on this show together. But I think a massive thing that the show taught me is that people want to hear someone stand up and be themselves. And that's been so awesome to have so many people say, we love what you do. So yeah, I can't thank The Voice enough for what they've done for me. And I'm honestly not just saying that. I've been able to go out there and show everyone exactly who I am and let people know, hey, I'm here and have my voice be heard. And I don't know, I think another massive thing coming off the show that I definitely have no regrets about is that I definitely put 110% into my music as well. Do you know what I mean? Regardless, if you're completely vision impaired, you can still hear what I have to say through my voice, which is awesome.
Were you surprised that Sam won in the end?
No, not at all. When I was in, to be honest, the four that were left remaining in the top four, I wasn't shocked about. I said, you guys have all got a reason to be here. Bella's voice is unbelievable. Aiden is, the amount of love I have for Aiden is just endless. And Sam is just a legend in himself, but watching what he does live is crazy. So it was really anyone's game. And what I knew from, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of people disappointed from the top 12 that they weren't the winner or they weren't the person there. But for me, I said, I've won. And that sounds so cliche and so cheesy, but I've seriously already won. I don't need to have the recording contract, and I don't need to, because I already kind of know what I want to do now. I know where I want to go, and I can just come straight off the show and let's just do it and let's work hard. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't have any regrets on that, and I'm super proud of him.
I don't want to be negative with this question, but, sure, you know, there's a lot of people talking about The Voice and singing competitions within Australia and saying that, you know, these days we're not getting a big star coming off these shows. How do you answer those questions when people talk to you about The Voice not having a recognisable star coming off their global run?
The honest answer to that question is that when you're on shows like The Voice, you've got the most amazing stylist team you could possibly think of, the most amazing hairdressers and set designers and all the equipment in the world you could possibly think of. Coming off the show, you don't have the stylists and the hairdressers and the chefs and the drivers and, you know, the amazing accommodation and everyone taking care of you. And you kind of come off going, now it's time to do it myself. And it's hard. It's really difficult. And everyone's like, all right, well, we're expecting you to have this grand performance the next time you perform. And you're standing there going, well, I didn't win the prize money. I don't, you know, I'm not the winner of the show and I don't have that production. And you're wanting that level from me. So I think that would be my answer to the question, is that the people that make it off these TV shows have to be the absolute hardest workers. And you need to have no ego when it comes to, all right, you're just doing a pub gig today. So be it. You know, you need to do it, and you need to show people that if you love this enough, you go out there and you just do the job. And I think when you come off a show and you're eating incredibly and you're dressing incredibly and you're, you know, you're living incredibly, it almost gets to you coming off the show thinking, oh, do I want to really go and do that tiny little pub gig, or do I want to do that little RSL tour? Like, but that's just what you have to do. So I guess coming off the show, the reason why there probably hasn't been someone that's really blasted out is because it takes time. You need to be the hardest. Vera Blue, Celia Pavey, who came off The Voice, she didn't explode straight off The Voice by any means, but she had an amazing voice and amazing style, and she's worked her ass off, and look what she's doing now. She's incredible, and she's writing amazing music, and everyone's loving her, and she's going global, and it just takes time.
Yeah. There's pressure on people coming off these shows to come out with an album so that people can buy it. Do you feel this pressure on releasing an album? And when are we going to go and see an album? When can we buy it?
There's definitely things coming. I've been writing every day in between traveling and working. And I just want it to be right. And I know that when it is right, it will work. And it will be powerful. And it will move people, hopefully. So there's things that I can't wait to share with people. It's just, I think for me, I'm just really making sure I'm comfortable with sharing my story for what it actually is, because I put myself off as quite a happy rainbow character, but really deep down, there's a lot of stuff that I've pushed right down that I didn't want to talk about. So for me, I'm listening to these songs and going, wow, like young little Sheldon would have loved to have heard this song that I'm writing right now. But it's just, I don't know, there's still something I'm working through with lyrics and everything when I'm releasing music.
this very little but loud experience of being on a reality television is a lot of pressure to put on a young person. Are you coping with the amount of pressure that is on you to push this stuff out?
Completely. I love it. I love being able to do what I do and, you know, ultimately get paid for it, work for it and, you know, achieve all that. But it's a lot because I didn't just walk in being, hey, I'm a singer. Every time I sing a song, I'm expected to wear a massive outfit as well. And every time I wear a massive outfit, I'm expected to do a massive song with it. So I don't know. It's not as easy as bringing my guitar down to a little gig and singing. You know what I mean? Everyone that loves what I do and what makes me who I am is putting my creative side and my music side together and mashing it together and doing that. I don't know. It just takes a whole lot more effort to make sure that's right.
Well, I think it's a great time for us to play something that you've written yourself.
Actually, Alfie Akuri wrote the song.
And did he?
Yeah, he did, which was awesome straight off The Voice, on The Voice, and he wrote the song. It's called Fire, and, you know, we collaborated with that, and I just thought, yeah, this is perfect.
I paint a smile across my face, but you see the cracks in this facade. I pray that I can find my way, but the path is swallowed by the dark. A bottle of pain, glass on the floor, watching the shadows come and go under my door. Nothing to blame, this crooked line, but I found something that was burning all this time. I got this fire, I got this flame. It feels like a choir is calling my name. Shatters my darkness, crumbles my tongue, and there ain't nothing in this world can put it out. I've got this fire. I've got this fire. I close my eyes as I erase all the memories of this fragile heart. Stay too long in this dark place. Now the hurt won't let me drop my guard. A bottle of pain, glass on the floor, watching the shadows come and go under my door. Nothing to blame, this crooked life.
What an amazing song. And, you know, for anyone out there that just heard that, if people do want to buy your music, how can they get that song?
Definitely. It's on iTunes and it's on everything. Like, I don't want to be the person that says every way to buy it. It's literally on every single music website you can find. So definitely give it a listen.
Does it frighten you to embrace, you know, your place in the LGBTI community?
Yeah, I think there's a massive expectation.
Mm.
A lot of people that I know gays as one type of person. So I think it's scary ever even touching the LGBT label or even going near it, because it's scary to bring something a little bit different to any kind of community, and, you know, and then going out there publicly and sharing it as well. So there's a lot of pressure. I think from my knowledge, you know, at my age, the LGBT community is very tight and it's close because it's had to be for so long, and it's only just really opening itself out to people now, I guess, and letting people go, hey, this is who we are. So if you want a piece of that, it's a bit, yeah, I think that would be one of my biggest things that scare me every day is am I doing it right, and am I doing justice to the amazing LGBT people out there who pretty much paved the way for me to be able to do what I'm doing today. So yeah, definitely.
Well, I think it's going to be a big year for you for 2019.
2019 is already looking massive for me, so I'm excited.
Have you got a message for the queer community that might be listening to this right now?
Definitely. Thank you, I guess. I've loved Joy for so long. I'm so happy that I'm here, and thank you guys so much for supporting me and everything that I'm doing, because I know there's so many of you out there that have loved everything that I've done. And, you know, just to everyone who's paved the way for me to do what I've needed to, honestly, just thank you. And I think this is the perfect radio station for me to put that thank you message out. But yeah, I guess I couldn't be me without you guys.
Well, Sheldon Riley, thank you so much for being able to join us on Word for Word.
Amazing.
Word for Word is presented and produced by Ben Norris from Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy. Word for Word is distributed nationally to over 70 radio stations across the Community Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.